I had the coffee. It was ineffectual. We've moved on to the wine. That usually doesn't trick.
Okay.
Doctors are trying to do stuff until it works.
Yeah, get me from hype to nap time. Stat.
This is going to be the hypest nap you've ever had.
Booyah.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jeremiah with the shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. This is episode 351. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're going to keep talking about the never-ending Turner Sabonis debate, the news about Oladipo, and we got a stat of the week, and we're going to answer another Undergoogleable. Joining me this week are all three of my co-hosts, coast-to-coast, like buttered toast, first from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Shout out this week to my mom, who sadly this week lost one of her favorite aunts. So send your thoughts and prayers and shout outs her way. We are thinking about you.
Sure, shout out.
Shout out, Mom's Triplett.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Just shout out to the whole crew. Nice to have you back, Harper. Love to be doing this with you guys today.
Looks like you're celebrating with some breakfast wine.
Mm-hmm. Trademark.
That's right.
And, of course, from Eugene, Oregon, out west, he is our enforcer. He's back. John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? I don't know if I can accuse Colson of scooping me there, but since I missed the Thanksgiving show and maybe Thanksgiving altogether, I'm very thankful for you guys and this show that we do. I have fun. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
My second, though.
Thank you. We definitely should file the paperwork.
We had him thinking, being thankful for fake news. Is that what we had you thankful for when you were off the air?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. And I think that we should immediately pause this recording and file the copyright paperwork for Undebeatables brand breakfast wine.
We got plenty of wineries out here to team up with. It'll be great.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Before we get into the show, I just want to remind you that you can support us anytime you shop at Amazon. If you just go to the link in the show notes or go to theundebeatables.com/Amazon, do some shopping, kicks a few bucks back to us and helps support what we do.
Victimless crime.
Colson, I think it's time for the boomerang. What do you have for us this week?
Yeah, I whiffed on this on Monday's show, but I'm ready this show. Very exciting news. Our very own Domantas Sabonis is 13th in PER in the NBA this year. But I'm going to take out players that don't play at least 20 minutes a game and say he's 12th in PER. And I was wondering if you guys could go around the table and give me the other 11 guys with a higher PER than Domantas Sabonis.
That's the price-to-earnings ratio, right?
So it's the player efficiency rating. A little context. Domantas Sabonis is sitting at 25.3 PER, and the highest ever... Well, here's a fun little bonus. Highest ever in a season is in 31 Those would be the highest ever. Can you name the four NBA players in NBA history that have at least a 31 PER?
What is this, a boomerang within a boomerang?
Yeah, there's 11. There's 11 seasons of 31, but it's only four guys.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Anthony Davis?
No.
Will we just Chamberlain? Missed.
Will Chamberlain. Yeah.
Okay.
Kareem.
No. An incredibly transitional player that's still playing the game and is still amazing.
Dirk?
No.
Shouldn't be.
Jamal Crawford.
Durant?
No.
Curry.
Yes. Steph Curry. So those are the four guys that have ever got to 31. So 25 is very solid. Nobody right now is putting up a 31 PER. But does anybody, can anybody give me, let's start with you, Jason. Somebody above Sabonis on this list.
I'll go with LeBron James.
LeBron James, number 8. Harper.
But James Harden.
James Harden, number 7. Joey.
Let's go with Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, number 5. Jason.
Let's go with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Number 1 at 29.3 PER. Harper.
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, number 10. Mm. Nice work.
What about the brow?
The brow, number 3.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, number 4.
Yeah.
So we only got four left.
Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook, no. He is number 19. Oof. Oh, yeah. So I've been doing the numbers wrong, I guess. I'll just tell you. Boban Marjanovic is number 2 right now, but he only plays 11 minutes a game. So that's where I'm just giving you that one. Yeah.
Oh, so we're still going.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Victor Oladipo.
Victor Oladipo, no. Sorry.
What?
All right, there's still one name I think you can get here, Jason.
Kemba Walker?
Kemba Walker, no. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have had him.
21 on the list. Let's see. So everybody's out?
Yeah, so everybody's back in.
Harper.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Mm.
Nice work. He's 12.
What about Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler, no, sorry.
Mm, good guess, though.
Yeah.
Let's
go with something weird like Luka Doncic.
Mm. No, but I like that guess. Think of a team, Harper, that's surprisingly good in the East.
Blake Griffin?
I think I have a guess. Yeah.
No, that's a really good guess from my hint, though.
Yeah. I was going to go with Lillard. I think you should go with Lillard.
Lillard 16, so don't guess that one, Joey.
Okay.
Well, then back to the drawing board. Let's what about Kyrie?
Kyrie, no. I'm just going to give you the last three. Okay. Nikola Vucevic for Orlando.
Vucevic
is 6. Montrezl Harrell for the Clippers is 9. And Clint Capella for Houston is 11.
I think great minds may think alike here, because that's actually, I wanted to focus on Sabonis for my stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week!
And then this week, if you look on Basketball Reference, a map, Mr. Sabonis, there's a lot of information about him. And I was cruising down his page and found that right now he is doing really well. PER is great. But he is 4th in the league for field goal percentage, 64%. His defensive rebound percentage is 3rd in the league. 2-point field goal percentage is 8th. Total rebound percentage is 5th. True shooting, 2nd. Defensive rating for the NBA, he's 10th in the league. And, of course, his effective field goal percentage is 4th. And his win share is per 48. He's 3rd in the league. And he's on our bench.
I think we should limit his minutes.
Shooting percentage is amazing. He makes good decisions. He takes good shots, and he finishes well. And he's killing it on the glass too. You know, both sides of the ball, both sides of the court. He's one of the best rebounders, at least by percentage, in the league. He's having an amazing season, and we may want to find more minutes for him.
He just is coming off back-to-back 20 and 15 games, which I think is like the third time that's ever happened in franchise history.
And we're paying him $2.5 million.
Yes.
Shh.
Maybe three.
Don't tell him. That's his worth on the market. Don't tell his agents.
Right.
So we've brought this up a couple times, and I know it's kind of the burning question among Pacers fans, whether we can get Sabonis more playing time and ideally in the starting lineup. We've got our two best young players are both playing the center position, and I think we're all concerned that long term that doesn't work. And so we want to kind of see the experiment of Sabonis and Turner on the floor together. Jason, a few weeks ago you had some numbers on this, suggested that that combination was not very good, particularly offensively, mm-hmm. and that's a concern. What I've learned, though, we've had actually some more minutes doing it. Nate's made a concerted effort to make this kind of happen. I think they overlap about 10 to 15 minutes a game now over this road trip. And I think we're key in the part of the comeback against the Lakers last week. So I decided to look it up. On points per possession offensively versus points per possession defensively.
That's basically the plus minus per 100.
Yes. One of the very bottom ones, we're a -57.2 on those 24 possessions that the lineup of Collison, Corey Joseph, Oladipo, Sabonis, and Turner play. A -28 if you have Joseph, Evans, McDermott, Sabonis, and Turner. Those are awful. But I've also noticed that Sabonis as the center with any three-guard lineup is terrible. He plays better with a traditional small forward. When Bogdanovich or McDermott are in the lineup, he tends to play better. He plays well next to Thad Young. But if he's out there with Bogdanovich at the four and three guards, he's just not good. So that can explain some of that. Doesn't matter if Turner's on the floor with him or not. Three guards don't work for him. Our most used lineup is Darren Collison, Tyreke Evans, Bojan Bogdanovic, Thad Young, and Miles Turner. It's our starting lineup right now. That has a difference of plus 3.6 over 100 possessions. Not great, but above 500. Basically, with our starting lineup, either with Evans or Oladipo, our points per possession, basically offensively and defensively, our net rating is amazing with that. And Thad Young in that starting lineup is barely putting us above average. So I think it's time to start talking about making this change because it's not actually as bad as we thought it was. Those bad lineups with Turner and Sabonis are not with the starting lineup.
Sabonis playing with the second unit should be... I mean, our second unit is better than most other people's second unit. So those lineups should be eating up the competition, right? So that sort of meets eye test and expectation. We knew going into this that the combination of Sabonis and Turner together, there were probably going to be some stumbling blocks. There's probably going to have to be some, you know, on-court learning that would have to happen before these guys were going to be... you know, some superstar front court tandem, right? I mean, you're just not going to trot them out and win 20 straight. That's not what was going to happen, right? So I think that there's good reason to think that they're trending in the right direction, that expanded minutes for those guys on the court together is a good learning experience and, you know, still essential to our long-term team continuity. I also still think that Miles Turner at four doesn't work against every team in the NBA, right? So if you're gonna have, you have to watch how the minutes are played. Like I guess I don't care as much as I did about who starts, but I think that not starting Sabonis just is starting to seem crazier and crazier. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it just seems kind of crazy, right?
Based on PER, he's our best player.
I know, and based on what you see on the court when Victor's not out there, he's been our best player. I mean, he's like a 20-15 guy right now. Yeah. He's just eating people up. He makes great decisions. He can pass. Like, everything's
good. He's
playing
24 minutes a game. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, if you can start them, you're going to get him more minutes. I mean, our best bench lineups, of course, you know, I just would make the point. Our best bench lineups have on this site have Thad Young with the bench unit with Sabonis at center. We've got Collis and Tyreke Evans, McDermott, Young, and Sabonis. That's a plus 33. And then we've got Collison, Joseph, Bogdanovich, Young, and Sabonis. That's a plus 32. So I feel like if you can start Sabonis alongside Turner and then bring Thad off the bench next to Sabonis, you're maximizing your good lineups there.
Yeah, I just This is one of those, I don't know. What do you think, Jason?
I don't know. I mean, I think that without a doubt, we have to figure out a way to get more minutes for Sabonis, right? So he's like, you mentioned all these things where he's top one or two, Joey, and he's number 147 in minutes per game, which is just unacceptable, right? I do, though, think that the rhythm of the sort of substitution pattern that we have now with that starting lineup actually works pretty well. And you know, the scientist in me is thinking, don't fix things that aren't broken, right? So if you have a experimental paradigm that's working, you don't muck with it, right? Like, you have a technique that's working. It's getting you wins. Don't change it around too much, right? But I think within that, we need to get Sabonis up to closer to 30 minutes a game than the 25 minutes a game that he's playing now, right? And, you know, there are many ways to do that, right? So, and it doesn't have to involve starting lineups. And the other thing that gives me worry is that the lineup that does not exist in, that has never played together, is the starting lineup where you switch out Sabonis for Miles Turner. Thad Young.
Just straight up, right?
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is not in starting, but we do have those minutes and they're positive, right? I mean, I've got it here. We're plus 27 with the starting lineup with Victor Oladipo and Sabonis, and we're plus 45 with Evans and Sabonis with that starting lineup. I mean, these minutes have been played. They're just not starting.
Right. So, I mean, I'm very much with Jason's thing about the substitution patterns, and it's not, I don't personally care about substitution patterns. I'm not a player. I'm a fan. You know what I mean? Nate McMillan has always thought that these substitution patterns, these regular minutes, are like integral to his game planning, right? So this is something that just doesn't seem like it's very much in his wheelhouse. That said, I mean, I just think it's a risk worth taking. I think you got to shake it up a little bit, right? But there's going to be nights where two bigs in the front court don't match up well against the other team, right? You might have to go with an early sub to get Thaddeus Young in there so you can run with these guys, right?
I'm fine with that.
I am too, but I'm saying that Nate doesn't like it, and maybe the reason Nate doesn't like it is because players don't like it a whole heck of a lot either. And then you're going to look at nights like where you're playing the Spurs. I mean, that Spurs game that we lost, that was because Miles Turner sat, right? I mean, he was the guy that we needed on LA, right? We need him out there at the four, right? Like, that's a game where, ideally, if he wasn't injured, we could have started, you know, those two together.
For me, like, I don't want to switch up the starting lineup all the time based on matchups. I mean, I think one of the things that makes these guys, this thing work, what makes it interesting, is they're both 6'11", they both can shoot with range, and they have different skill sets. You know, Sabonis is more in the post. Miles Turner's more of a pick and pop guy. Miles Turner's the shot blocker, and Sabonis is the rebounder. I feel like they complement each other. They're good friends on and off the court. They like playing together. I agree that sometimes we'll get run off the court. We bring in Thad Young, but Thad Young, and you know, I mean, I just last week or 2 weeks ago talked about how he's, you know, a freaking hero, you know, for all the stuff he does for this city, but he's
bench him
very poorly this year. His shot is broken. I mean, I'm coming off, he's coming off maybe his best game of the season against Sacramento, and he had like 14 points and 6 rebounds. Like, I mean, the only thing he's doing elite right now is stealing the basketball. Everything else, wow. He's down near the bottom of his career in points, in rebounds, and assists. I know he plays great defense, and he's a part of our culture, but his broken shot is really hurting that.
I'm with you, but we are still a defensive-minded team. We're an effort, blue-collar team. I mean, it's in the logo, man. And he does things that are very important to that coaching staff as in terms of leadership and effort on the court, right?
I'm not suggesting we bench him completely. I'm just saying bring him off the bench.
But what I'm saying is that what we really need to decide is what's less disruptive to our team. We all kind of agree that Sabonis needs to be playing more minutes, preferably with the first unit, and that we don't really want to trim back Miles Turner's minutes. So is it going to be more disruptive to screw with the substitution patterns or more disruptive to screw with the starting lineup on a night-to-night basis? I think that's the first thing that you have to decide, because I don't think that we can get where we want to go without doing one of those two things. And you have to be aware that you're going to cause disruption.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the simplest path to
give me Occam's razor, baby,
which is more minutes for Sabonis, is to just subtly shift how quickly you get him in and how long you leave him out there, right? So, I mean, as it is now, he's the first substitution off the bench, often in tandem with Corey Joseph, right?
Right.
So you could stick with that and then just bring Thad in back into the lineup, you know, later and later into the second quarter and fourth quarter or whatever it is. Which has sort of been happening. That trend has been happening, right? Especially as Sabonis plays these games where he's like unstoppable, Nate just leaves him out there for super long stretches because he's highly effective and Nate's a smart guy. So that I think is the way this goes.
Okay,
I guess,
and that's fair. But I still think, just not even play as devil's advocate. I believe that Domantas Sabonis needs to be starting. Period. And if you want to see which one of those two guys is the better matchup, and then bring in Thad Young at that other off position, if it's not working out the way that you want it, I think that you have to be at least sort of prepared to make that switch early, right? As opposed to bringing Sabonis in early. I don't see how you don't start this guy. Eventually, we're going to piss him off, right? Like, I love a good soldier, but come on.
Well, it's interesting. So, the starters are, you know, one of my favorite podcasts. A listener had written in and asked the question of, are the Pacers facing a Nurkic-Jokic situation here, where they have two really talented big guys, and they're going to have to make a choice at some point, right? And the way that the play is going this year, it seems like the choice is Sabonis, right?
Mm-hmm. But see, I guess the argument I'm making...
So you get ahead of that and you move Turner?
No, the argument I'm making right now is that these guys can play together and the numbers are backing it up. I mean,
how do we get to those minutes, right? I mean, that's the real question. How do we do that without causing the least disruption to our team? Well, we all agree on that.
Well, yeah, my only point is I don't think we need to trade Miles Turner to solve this problem. I think these guys can play together. I think we were worried
really
about
suggesting that.
That,
right? But
I was kind of suggesting.
Kind of suggesting it. My issue is, look, Thad Young is not, his contract's up at the end of this year. Hopefully, we'll bring him back. He's been a great leader, but he's not the future of this franchise. So Sabonis and Turner over Thad Young are the future of this franchise, and you know. This bench has played really well with Thad Young there. You know, I was telling you about three-guard lineups, that Sabonis is terrible with those. Turner's fantastic with it. You know, if you put Bogdanovich at the four and put three guards out there, we're plus 38. So, I mean, there's ways to get around some of these minutes to be able to, you know, shift to Bogdanovich down there. And this works with you start two centers. We can still find the minutes for everybody. You know, maybe Kyle O'Quinn has to pick a few minutes up at center, but you can also play small and cover most of your minutes. I think it still works.
I mean, getting to the minutes that we want for these guys, Kyle O'Quinn never sees a floor again. We're tightening our rotation up front, not expanding it.
Well, I'm saying if you want both those guys to play 32 minutes a night, yeah, you've got your center position covered. You're right.
I guess. Yeah, but here's the thing. At my basis, I think that the best way for us to handle this is to move relatively quickly to Turner at four and Sabonis starting at five. I just think that those are the best two players that we potentially have at that position. But I just don't think that you can marry the minutes on the floor to what the starting lineup is. I think that you have to be, as a coach, a little bit more flexible about your substitution patterns based on your matchup. I think it's important to maintain the same starting lineup every night. And I think that within the next few weeks is going to need to be Miles Turner and Sabonis. But I think that you have to be willing to sub early for Thad Young for one of those two bigs, depending on how your matchups fall out.
I wonder what the opportunity is to make that switch for a change in starting lineup, right? Often changes in starting lineups are prompted by dramatic events like injuries or a losing streak or something like that, right? You don't often take a team that's playing relatively consistently and winning and then shake things up for no reason. I mean, that's my argument would be
that the Oladipo injury is the argument we could make. So we're a 500 team without him in the lineup, right? We're playing 500 ball. And we want to be better than that at the end of the year. We're better than 500 team. And so if we say, hey, look, you can look at these numbers, and with, you know, Miles Turner, Sabonis, and Evans all in that starting lineup, we're plus 45 on points per possession. And the lineup with Thaddeus Young is plus 3.5. Like, we just have to make this lineup change. It's because Oladipo's injured for the good of the team. Yeah.
So are you making this argument to your team or to the media?
I'm making it to the team. I'm saying, hey,
to
look.
To the team. Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, Thad, just because Oladipo's injured right now, we need to do this. We need to see how it works. You've been great off the bench. You're still our leader in the locker room. But this is where direction we have to go to keep our head above water while Depot's out. And then if it goes well, you just stick with that.
I mean, I think I agree with that. I would probably phrase it a little bit differently. I mean, my argument would be, look, we're playing 500 ball. That's not good enough. With or without Victor Oladipo, our team's on the floor, and we expect to win every ball game, night in and night out. We can do better, right? This doesn't have to, like, you don't pivot on an Oladipo injury to me, right? You just say, we need our best talent on the floor right now. Thaddeus, you're a great ball player, but we need to get this young, badass talent out on the court and maximize their minutes and see where this goes. And this isn't a slight. Like, I feel like we're apologizing for it in some way. We shouldn't be. We're putting our best players out.
Sabonis has been better.
Sabonis has been better than 90% of the league.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming off our bench.
And Harper, you said this the other day, and I keep coming back to it. If this is Merritt Bates' system, he's earned that right to be in the starting lineup. You know, I mean, we talk about how coach will leave players on the floor that are hot, that are playing well, you know, they're earning their minutes. He's earned to be in the starting lineup.
Over Turner, if necessary. I mean, look, I think Turner actually had a good week. I feel like it feels like he's getting into the flow of the season now, which makes me really, really happy. I love watching that dude play when he plays well. He's got a, you know, he's a big dude with a pretty buttery game. Like, he's got this sweet jumper and he's a great, like, I love Miles Turner's game. That said, Domantas Sabonis has been better than him all year.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that.
And so I would rather sit Young than Turner. Somebody's got to sit for Domantas. Somebody just has to sit.
If the numbers back it up, we've done 49 possessions with Sabonis over Turner with our current starting lineup. Well, with Oladipo in our starting lineup, and it's a negative two in differential.
Right. But again, in these small sample sets, you're going to see growing pains. I mean,
right.
Domantas Sabonis is he the highest IQ guy in our team? I mean, he's way out there, right? He's a great passer for his position. He rebounds, which is something we need in our starting lineup. There's going to be some growing pains when you throw a new guy out there. Again, this is about disruption, right? There will be disruption here.
Yeah. My only argument is that I don't think it's a Miles Turner versus Sabonis argument. I think it's a Sabonis versus Young argument, and I think the numbers already bear out that it's better for our team and we need to make the change.
I concur. I just, you know, if we're going to tell a story to people, like I said, I don't think we need to do it tomorrow. I think that we can, you know, maybe it's best if we do, but we can tell a story if the coaching staff wants to about how we're trending in this direction. This is not a slight on you, Thad. But I'm not that convinced that we need to tell this big story. I think Thad knows what's going on and he's probably behind it, you know?
That's fair. But I mean, I think that, you know, there's a good chemistry within the locker room and between the coaches and the players, and that is something that is worth continuing to foster, right?
Sure.
And, you know, employees, if you will, don't respond well if you just do things willy-nilly without any, you know, buy-in or engagement or at least rationale, right?
Do you think Thad Young at this point would, I mean, I know he wants to start, but don't you think he's a good soldier? Don't you think he'd understand this move?
Absolutely, but it's not all about Thaddeus Young, right?
Okay.
It's about the message that you send to everybody else on the team, right? Which
right.
is,
I think that's a great point, yeah.
You know, because you need to continually get engagement from the Corey Josephs of the world who do really great things and are good soldiers, and,
sure.
you know, Tyreke Evans and all these guys, right? So, I agree with you, Harper, that at the end of the day, everybody knows what's going on. It's impossible to deny how good Sabonis is.
And why would we want to, right?
And right, exactly. And moving him to the starting lineup is a perfect way to, you know, if you do it the right way, it sends all the right messages,
right.
Which is this guy is kicking ass. We have to have him in the lineup. You know, we've been, you know, floating with Oladipo here. So we have to do better.
Yeah.
Our goal is 50 wins. We can't be playing 500 ball and win 50 games.
We don't run on 50 ball. And I mean, I think that the truly smart way to go about it would literally to, you know, if I'm coach, I just sit down Thad. I'm like, look, here's a conundrum. What would you do? And dollars to donuts, Thad's going to say, you know, I think it's fine to start him. You know, if you need to limit my minutes, coach, I'm still going to be a good soldier. And Nate says, you know what? I mean, I agree. We need this guy in there, but here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to cut your minutes in a big way. We need you out there. You're an important cog in this team, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think in an ideal world, it's Thad Young's idea, right? And then you just,
or it was our idea and Thad Young agreed with it.
Well, that's
more likely,
you know. But you would like to be able to give Thad Young some ownership over that change, right, if you can,
sure.
to keep him involved. Because here's the thing. If you sit down with Thad Young and Thad Young says, yeah, no, I'm going completely rogue if you make this change. I mean, there's something that – there's another conversation that needs to be had, right? And you want to know exactly what you're getting into. But as long as Thad Young doesn't feel like he's being displaced and Thad Young is taking ownership over this change, that's how you maintain that locker room cohesion, right?
All right, gentlemen, I think we've solved everything.
As usual.
Yep.
Done and done.
And I think it's about time we take a break, let the coaching staff digest what we just gave them. Take a few minutes for that. I'll tell you what, I've been going to the Jazz Kitchen about once a month or so the last couple of months here. There's been some phenomenal performances over there. There's the American Pianists Association. I don't know why I'm remotely shocked that you guys are chuckling. Is hosting, I think, the biggest jazz competition maybe in the world. It's like a $100,000 prize.
Wow.
But it's being hosted at the Jazz Kitchen. So.
It's the biggest pianist competition?
No. Just lobbing softballs out there.
Is there a jazz flautist?
No,
jazz flute.
No jazz flute.
I'm out.
I love a jazzy pianist, though.
So, got to go last night. But this this song here, I was from an artist I saw a couple weeks ago, was in the competition, and it's really good stuff. This was from Billy Test. So this track is called Small Feats. But get out to the Jazz Kitchen if you like the jazz at all, mm-hmm. and check it out.
Small Feats. Yep,
that's an impressive pianist.
Small Feats from the pianist.
I resign.
There's nothing I could say that could make this better.
No, we should have a pianist every weekend.
I feel like we've made all the penis jokes. Have we just made all the penis jokes over the course of this podcast?
Oh, dear.
We are back from the break. Make sure to check out the link in the show notes. You can pick up this album on iTunes or wherever you can buy music these days. Next segment, we got a mailbag.
The mailbag.
Andrew Preston.
Mailbag.
We've heard from him before. Woot. He's got a question, and I think...
Shout out.
We're going to do this one in... Undergoogleable style, but it's going to be a quiz for you guys.
Should I play the mailbag jingle or the Undergoogleable jingle?
Play them all.
Play them all.
Merge them together. Yeah. It's an Undergoogle-a-rang.
Yep. So I'm going to read what he wrote in here. He said, "Hey guys, love the pod and got another Undergoogleable for you. Unfortunately, the Pacers traded their first-round draft pick away in 2003 to the Atlanta Hawks. The 03 draft class became one of the best of all time, and which is why in the second year, your Pacers drafted three-time NBA champion James Jones. One of the GOATs. One of the GOATs. Including Jones, seven other players from this class, drafted and undrafted, went on to play for Indiana. Who were they?
Drafted and undrafted. So was that the LeBron James draft?
That was, I think, LeBron's
class. So that's
class,
Mello.
Yeah.
That's
Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh.
Yeah. All right, I'm out.
So
that's all I knew.
Let's
Milicic.
Let's start on the East Coast. Jason, do you have a guess?
What about Chase Budinger?
No, nope. He's later.
He's not on this list. Whatever happened to that guy?
No,
he was all right. He was okay.
Playing volleyball somewhere.
Monte Ellis. That's
probably true.
Mm.
Nope.
Was he earlier than that?
Probably.
And I've decided against making this a competition, and now it is a collaborative.
Of course. Yeah. Troy Murphy.
Nope.
Darren Collison.
I'll give you a hint on one of them.
Okay.
He is into eating babies.
It's David West. Okay.
So that gives us an era. That gives us an age.
Also,
yeah, old.
The year gave you an age.
Oh, Scola.
Nope. Not in that class. One maybe another hint to me was one of the funniest trash talkers I've ever seen in the league ever.
It's not Lance.
What's his name?
Scott Pollard.
No, definitely a journeyman.
Oh,
Dante
Jones.
Dante Jones.
Yep, nice. That's one of them.
What about
that guy?
Rasul Butler.
That guy cracked me up. Rasul Butler. Nope. On him, Dante Jones was one of my favorite guys to watch. He was fine on the court. He had his moments, but he was one of those guys that during the, with the other team shooting free throws, he's just wandering out in the middle of the lane, stopping them from high fiving, and and he trash talked from the bench like crazy. I love
this. Is tough. Throw some colleges at us.
Well, one of them, I'm not sure if he did go to college.
Oh, undrafted.
One of them is an international player.
Oh.
Yazakevicius?
Nope. Yeah, so this particular player is way south of the border.
What?
Barbosa.
And he's
Barbosa. Nice.
Barbosa.
Leandro Barbosa.
Traded TJ Ford.
Yep, TJ Ford is one of them. Nice. Did you guys know that his nickname is the Little Engine? There's three left here. I don't know. I think we'll get one of these guys.
We'll get one of them. Well, give us a clue on that one.
And let me.
You got to Google him to give us a clue. That's not a good sign.
6'6", 200, small forward and shooting guard. Played for Dallas before the Pacers and Boston. And Milwaukee afterwards. Went to...
James Posey.
Nope.
Jeez. I hope not. That would have been a deep cut.
Let's see. he, I believe, went straight from high school. Mount Zion. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He went to Auburn. I apologize.
All right. I'm looking up the draft
his class. He had a three-year stint on the team.
Ron
2006
Mercer?
To 2009.
Oh, no. Good guess, though.
I like that one. I think he's.
I think he was. Earlier. Yeah, he was still a good guess. Because I can't think of another swingman.
He was traded for Austin Crozier.
Oh, okay. This helps.
We.
We traded him. We traded Crozier to Dallas, right?
To Dallas for Crozier. Yeah, for this player
specifically for this guy.
Who the hell? Okay, I'm looking at this draft class, and I don't know. Who else?
I don't know enough about.
Oh, Marquise Daniels. He was nice. Undrafted, though. Yeah. He was undrafted.
Undrafted.
That's crazy.
Okay. He was never. I don't really see.
So is Udonis Haslam, interestingly. That dude played in the NBA. Yeah. Jose Calderon was undrafted that year.
Scouts. And the other two guys,
Josh Powell.
I'm just going to give them to you.
Oh, yep, nice.
That's the guy. Britton Johnson.
Oh yeah. I was looking at his name and I was like,
he what played a distinguished the year of the name. No, you remember we used to make the joke that we just found him on the street because he was one of those guys that we had to bring in when we had all the suspicions.
Oh sure, yeah, he played six games for us.
That was
that
the year
season.
Of the brawl.
Okay, that was those were the when
that
they
was
were picking up people.
Tough. This dude is not allowed to do. He's allowed to ride in, but he is not in charge of the boomerangs because that's brutal.
We did all right.
That's why I changed this to a collaborative.
Yeah, we did all right.
Yeah, so. No, for sure. Like honestly, even I don't think it was cheating to look up the draft class at that point.
No,
you looked up the draft class, and we still couldn't get it.
Yeah, we still missed one.
I don't know if you got any of them without any clues.
Got James Jones, baby.
Wait, yeah.
Got James Jones. That's three-time NBA champion James Jones.
My
to you.
Fault on that one.
Well, thanks for writing in, Andrew.
Shut up.
We love getting these.
Yeah, I love trivia.
It's fun. And I love watching you guys get stumped.
No, that was a super solid question. That's great.
All right. I think it is time for the quarter season Undebeat Awards.
Is it time to panic about Oladipo yet?
I want you to think about that. I want you to stew on that a little bit, so you can calm down, and then we'll talk about that shortly.
Here. So I can panic on the way out of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe if that's the case, we should end with the MVP so that we can double Coulson's panic if possible.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's a good idea. I'll change the order right now.
Oh no!
So for the Pacers, this is specifically for the Pacers. So this is Undebeat Awards. This is our award ceremony at the end of the season, but we want to give at least if the season ended today, what would it be looking like? First one, Rookie of the Year. I think this is unanimous.
Alize Johnson.
Alize Johnson.
He's been murdering it.
Aliza like Sunday morning. Yeah.
I think that we can have a separate Undebeat Awards for the Mad Ants. I think that's
fair. Okay, well, he's the MVP of the Mad Ants.
And the most improved, and the most likely to not return. He's all of the things.
He wins all the awards.
He wins all the awards.
Yeah, it's clearly Aaron Holiday. I mean, this kid, I argued last week that proven veteran and dead-eye shooter Doug McDermott should lose minutes to him because he's so good.
Hey, McBuckets can play, but, I mean, if you're looking down the long lens of the future of this team, yeah, I'm still not opposed to that, even though McBuckets had a good week. Holiday is playing pretty good, and he hasn't found his shot yet. And this is not a guy that's going to shoot 20% from three-point in the NBA. This guy is a shooter, and eventually he's going to find his shot, and he's going to be twice as good. Of course, he needs to work through the rookie stuff, the turnovers, the stupid decisions. Sure.
Getting lost on defense, yeah.
But he should already be better than he is because his shot's just not falling. He's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. He's going to be fine.
Yeah. Been really impressed with his ability to get by the first guy, his ability to get into the lane. He's got some sweet touch off the glass, too, when
he's a shooter.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I have not been that impressed with his defense because he does break down. And, again, the two strongest things about his game, he's not doing well yet. He's not shooting well in the NBA. He's not defending well in a team scheme. Those things will improve and improve quickly because that's where his strength lies.
We want to keep him consistent minutes. Even if it's not a ton of minutes, we need to keep him on the floor so he can improve before our eyes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is something that you can improve on in practice, but it's something you got to be on
he
the floor
minute.
Playing
NBA
against
minutes.
Professional NBA players.
He's NBA.
And it's you can tell, like, Jason, you said, he's always ready for the moment. This kid thrives on competition, right? And, you got to keep this kid challenged. I don't think he'll get bored. I'm not saying that. but you got to keep him challenged. He deserves that. And I'm really excited to see where this kid is in 6 months. It's going to be this kid is good. He's super good. Stop turning the ball over.
Rookie of the year.
Next award is the Coach of the Year. This is the Dan Burke Award. I think what we might want to do in this situation is let's just Harper. Do you want to give Coach Nate a grade so far on a scale of 1 to A?
I'm going to give him a 1A. It's complicated. I think I still got him sitting on an A minus. The team's playing 500 ball without Oladipo on a West Coast road swing. That's good. We could have won one more game, and we're not starting the best player on our team. That's bad. He's fine where he's at. He's still sitting on A-, but there's going to have to be changes made, and I think that's going to kind of define Nate McMillan's season within the next 30 days. Right. So we'll see how he handles this, and it'll be really interested to come back to this in 30 days and regrade Nate McMillan.
Well, and you gave him a little bump for finally figuring out how to use McDermott, right?
Sure.
Or do you...
I gave you guys a bump. You guys got an A+.
We're the Coach of the Year.
Or do you think are we eligible for Coaches of the Year?
It's a conflict of interest. So we can't, it's hard. We're nominated, but we can't vote for ourselves kind of thing.
Yeah. Next award, the LVP, least valuable player. Who's not pulling their weight out there this season? McBuckets off the, is he out of the fire?
Yeah. Well, it was McBuckets until this past week, I would argue. And I don't know. Nobody on this team is, so atrocious that we can't play them. Even when guys like Kylo Quinn and even TJ Leaf get spot minutes, they have been performing well. So I'm not sure. I would say that I am less impressed with Tyreek Evans than I had hoped to be at this point in the season.
Really?
I am. Yeah.
Huh.
I think he's still trying to figure out where he fits on this team and what his role is. And
well, sure, we're 25 games into the season, 20 games in the season.
Yeah, I know, but maybe it's a recency bias in this last week. I mean, he looked half drunk in the the Lakers and Kings
Sacramento games. Yeah.
Yeah, and that disappointed me.
I do feel like his turnovers are just, it's like with Lance, you could be like, all right, I see what he was trying to do there with that pass. It was just ill-advised. These seem just like lazy passes, and I don't know.
I think the California weed is just really, really good, and he, you know, he's been smoking that Indiana stuff for, you know, the first quarter of the season.
That is super brutal, guys. Like, we inserted this guy into our starting lineup with no warning because of an injury. We've asked him to do more. He played, I thought he was playing great on our bench. I thought he was doing really good things there. We've asked him to change into a different role 15 games into a season. And yeah, it hasn't been a perfect transition, but he's not as good as Victor Oladipo to begin with.
Yeah,
could he be playing better? Yes. But this guy, when he's playing with the second unit in a role he seems to actually understand from day one, I just thought the ball was popping in the second unit. Like, I really like this guy. I think that's...
I sort of agree. I mean, that's why I said it's a recency bias thing. And I mean, yeah, we should compile a video playlist of his turnovers from this past week.
Not great.
Some of them are just
not
like,
great.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with
you. Like, literally just passing it to the other team.
No, it wasn't just him, though. Like I said, in that Sacramento game, like, we couldn't figure out a dribble handoff. It wasn't just him. This team was tired.
My guy, I've not been as impressed is Darren Collison this season. Yeah. I think he's taken a step back.
Well, last year he had a career year.
Yeah.
It was his best year in the NBA.
He's struggling from the free throw line this season.
Yeah, no, his shot is not there.
I mean, free throw defense has changed.
Yeah. But he barely missed the 50-40-90 club last year, which would have put him with elite, you know, like only seven guys ever have done that, right? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Saying,
he had a game that he had no points at all.
Yeah. No, he's not played well.
It's not just that his shooting's down a bit. Like, I get that part, but I thought he was just offensively, he has just been
And I'm with you. Like, his shot just seems a little off. Like, he is such a good player. I think we had such high expectations for him coming into this season.
Well, he was great last year. He was just perfect complement to Oladipo.
He was exceptional. I mean, it's hard to watch going from a career year to a really rough start. He'll get back to the mean. Yeah. It'll be fine, right? But it has been a tough start to the season. And with all that going on, we're still sitting where we're sitting, right? I mean, honestly, I think this award just goes to the team's playing us, right? Like, we're actually down the roster doing a great job. I mean, Colson, you could probably make an argument for EK because he hasn't really cracked even garbage minutes. But other than that, this team... 1-15 has really bought in, has really played hard. I don't have a bad thing to say about a guy on this team right now. I just don't.
My nomination would be for least valuable player would be Thad Young's jump shot. Because it's not Thad Young in general. Like, he's still playing hard, doing all the things, but it's just his
jump shot.
And then Miles Turner versus expectations. Miles Turner has been, I think, especially lately, been getting much better. But I think we all hope that this would be a year he took a leap, and he's not done that. Some of that is just the amount of shots he's getting. He needs to shoot more because he's been effective, and we want him to rebound more. But he's starting to get more rebounds in the last few games. But I think versus expectations, we were all hoping a little bit more from him.
Man, you're really going to mention Miles Turner on the least valuable Pacer list?
That's why I said brutal, versus expectation. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, that's brutal.
It's split stats versus expectation.
I want to withdraw my Darren Collison nomination simply because of that crossover he had on DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Sent him rolling. When the Phoenix fans
give you the
when they give you the ooh, then you did something right there.
And by the way, DeAndre Ayton can play. That kid's good.
Oh, no, for sure.
That kid's good. Mm-hmm.
But he got worked over.
He got worked over by a vet.
To hell and back.
It happens.
Yeah.
So TBD on the LVP.
Yeah. The next one, MIP, most improved Pacer. I'm going to go with Sabonis.
Yeah, I think it's without Sabonis. Without a doubt, Sabonis, yeah.
Okay.
He's been fantastic. He might be most improved player in the NBA. So we might as well nominate him here for that in the Pacers.
If he just stays statistically where he's at, I mean, is he hands down the NBA MIP?
No, he's in the conversation, though.
Who else is better?
Wait, did Giannis make a big enough leap to be most improved?
Giannis is in the MVP conversation. So I don't think he's in the MIP conversation.
Yeah.
So that kind of just leaves Sabonis right now. As long as we protect, you know, the gains that he's made, I think he's got a great shot at it. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the rest of his season. This is good stuff. This is really good stuff.
Yeah.
Mini shout out to Bogdanović.
Yeah.
Who has taken his game up a level.
Oh, my God. Sure. He has been, maybe that's my vote. He's just been so good.
You get the hell out
so
of town.
Consistent.
I really want to give him my vote, too, because it's like he went out and like he had a great year. And like you're like, you know, he'll work on his defense or something, but he worked on getting to the cup. So he went and added destroying the rim to his resume.
Yes.
I love this kid. I love him.
I think for me, he went from a nice pickup for, you know, not too much money, who's going to be a spot filler until we found a solution at small forward to... I want this guy to be my small forward for the future.
There's five guys in the league that I'd take over him.
Yeah. I mean, he's just been fantastic. And I think that's just a credit to him that he made that step from nice spot filler to, you know, future, you know, on this team. I think it's great. Yeah.
Next one, defensive Pacer of the year.
Backpacks.
Yeah, backpacks.
Backpacks.
Almost three blocks Miles a game from Miles Turner.
Yeah. That is one thing that has not suffered in his game. His shot blocking is been fantastic, and it stayed fantastic. Yep. Also, but a little shout out to Oladipo. He's getting those steals. He's, you know, elite in that category. But Miles Turner changes the way that the other team plays.
I would also shout out Corey Joseph. Mm-hmm. I would say at least once a broadcast, Quinn Buckner points out that Corey Joseph completely disrupts the entire offensive possession of the opposing team, because he like did some crazy off the ball thing that like denied somebody the ability to make a pass, and then they're just scrambling after that.
Yeah.
And I mean, his contributions are show up less in the stat line than anybody else's.
Yeah.
Correct. But he's been a crucial part of the success of this team, especially on the defensive end.
I think that's
I agree.
Especially true because the things that Corey Joseph do, like, he's the guy who unbreaks the broken defense, right? Like, somehow when everything breaks down, Corey Joseph finds his way to the spot to break up the passing lane. No, that guy's amazing. I'm going to shout out Domas here. Yes, he's not the shot blocker that Miles Turner is, but boy, does he play tough in a post. And if going into this season we were worried about defensive rebounding, this guy has a case.
I'll accept your shout out.
Yeah, we're actually like weirdly in the top 10 in defensive rebounding.
Boy, it just doesn't feel truthy, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't at all, but statistics are statistics. The other guy to shout out defensively would be Thad Young, who I think just does a fantastic job night in and night out. Always gets a key steal on a possession that when we really need it.
I'm going to propose a new Undebeat award, and it's going to be every man. Thad Young is not going to get shouted out in any of these categories on a consistent basis, really, but he's a guy that just goes out there and does whatever needs to be done. It's the blue collar award.
The lunch pail award.
The lunch pail award.
Yeah, nice.
And yeah, Thad Young gets that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are, you know, you're talking about defensive pacer of the year. We're third in the league at defense right now. I mean, I think they could all probably share this award, put it on their mantle, collective mantle.
Their collective mantle. They just buy just a huge house.
That's right. Just for the mantle.
Yeah. Or just put a mantle.
Make it a reality show.
Or just put a mantle in the field house. Just for their locker awards.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Sixth man of the year, it is Domantas Sabonis. Next
award. There's no argument there.
Yeah, just moving on.
No. Next award, the He Gone Award. He's the least likely to return. I don't know.
And Jason says Miles Turner, but, you know, I say.
I mean, that's as good as anything else. I don't know anybody who we've been, like, terribly unhappy with. You know, a lot of our excellent players are on fantastic contracts.
Yeah, but Joe, the issue is that
it's tough because everybody's contract comes up.
Right? So Bogdanović, Joseph, Collison.
What about Corey
Evans?
Joseph? I think he might be a flight risk, is what they call him.
No, we got to keep Corey.
I mean, I agree with you. I do. I'd love to have him back.
He's been fantastic.
Are you saying he's a flight risk because he's Canadian?
So I'm going to say that I think Collison or Tyreke Evans, one of those two guys, will not be re-signed. Maybe both of them.
Is Tyreke on a one-year deal?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I will back Corey Joseph. I think that Aaron Holiday is coming up and better suited to play the one for our team. So I'll stick with that. Tyreke Evans can play three positions.
I agree.
Yeah.
But he needs to be better for us to give him lots of money.
He'll be better. He'll be better the rest of the year.
And the last and the most important MVP, the most valuable pacer. I mean, I think, look, guys, right now, the discussion we're having about the lineup is it's about Victor Oladipo being out. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you know, everybody else, you know, tweak and tweak some substitution patterns and whatnot and move some guys around. But Vic Oladipo is the heart and soul of this team. And it's got to be him.
I'm going to disagree. He's missed a third of the season so far. And so I'm going to pick Bogdanović. I think he's been our most consistent player offensively for sure. And, you know, he hustles and scraps on defense every night.
Well, then he should win the most consistent player award. But it doesn't exist.
I think that makes him the most valuable player because he's been consistent. So, I mean, also, you think about it. I mean, he's, like, I think second in the league in three-point shooting right now. Oladipo is the second worst scorer by percentage on our team on the floor. So
trade him.
I don't mean that. I'm just saying. I know. I'm not giving him the award.
I'm just mad because I feel like you stole my thunder because I was going to go with Bogdo because I thought you were going with Sabonis. So I'll take Sabonis.
Okay.
Look, the kid's been a revelation. He is absolutely monster in second teams in this league. He has done more to solve our rebounding problem than, you know, okay, maybe anyone but Oladipo. But Oladipo's missed a third of the season. And this is a real bright spot for us. And sometimes these, you know, you're 22 years old. Sometimes this kind of success can go to your head, but it's not going to his head, right? This team is still cohesive and together, and that goes to everybody on this team. But Sabonis has been really, really, really important to his success, and I look forward to more of it.
JT?
We took all the good
ones. Yeah, he did take all the good ones. But it's Oladipo, man, right? Like,
yeah.
He's super good. Leading the league in clutch field goal percentage. You take him away from our team, we're better than we were last year when you take him away, but we're still just a 500 team.
Right.
When you take him away, and it's glaringly obvious in the last 5 minutes of ball games. The Sacramento game, the most recent example where we went scoreless for 4 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with Victor Oladipo on the floor.
I kept thinking watching that game, Oladipo stops the bleeding. That's what he does.
Sure.
That's what great players do. He would have figured
out a scab.
He would have figured out how to get us 2 points in that 4 minutes, and that would have been enough to win that game.
Yeah,
that's right.
And the same thing with the beginning of the LA game too. I felt like if he had been there, he would have gotten a defensive stop or hit a bucket that would have changed the trajectory of that game,
or at least let us weather the storm a little bit better. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot in the NBA when people have a whole season of film on you and a whole off season to plan, and you're clearly the guy on a team. And to come out and, you know, at least maintain your numbers, if not improve your numbers scoring-wise against that, is impressive. Yep. And, you know, I think that that's a big credit to Oladipo.
Well, but
for sure.
And the coaching staff.
And to build on that, I think, you know, it's – I have no doubt in my mind, based on what I know of Victor Oladipo, that it is hard as hell for him to miss time playing this sport. Mm-hmm. It's clear watching him play how much he loves this stuff. But he is such a good guy on that bench. He's always the first guy up. He's such a good teammate. And maybe that's not surprising, but that doesn't mean you don't get credit for it. This guy's out there coaching up. He's doing the thing. And, yeah, Victor Oladipo is the best addition that's been made to this team since the draft of, you know, Reggie Miller, right? I mean, this kid's amazing.
I love it. I love it.
So we got two for Oladipo. Then that makes him the winner.
Yep.
Because we're not doing Quaker style for this one.
Right. No time.
Oh. Nope. If we're not doing Quaker style, then we're doing murder style, right?
So yeah, that's the opposite of
Quaker. It's one or the other, yeah.
Is murder.
There's two. So Oladipo, you know, we're recording this on Sunday. They just announced yesterday or the day before that he is out indefinitely with his knee injury. Our MVP is indeterminate when he's going to be back. Colson, have you had time to really ramp up your panic at this? Are we going to be okay, or should we start looking at you know, moving the team to Seattle?
Well, the button is on Joey's shoulder, so I can't hit
it. That's true.
There right you now. Go. Okay. So we're good, building. Right?
So he played 4-on-4 on Friday. He was day-to-day. They interviewed him, and he said, look, I've got to get this completely rested up and healed up because I got to be 100% because I play 100%. That was the interview. That was the quote.
Can't he just play like 80%? That'd be fine.
Well, he doesn't want to come back. He can't play that way. That's not how he plays. And then on Saturday, they said he was out indefinitely. So I don't know if he re-aggravated something during that 4-on-4, whether the medical staff has decided that he's not improving as quickly as they want, whether, I mean, for me, in my mind, I just thought, okay, we're going to basically give him until Friday, or maybe you want to skip the back-to-back and we'll just keep him out a week. But that doesn't, you don't need to change data indefinitely for him to skip one more week. You know, like I'm very concerned about this change. I'm not sure why they did it except to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's especially anytime you get an indefinite timeline, it's a scary proposition. And then when they say things like, we'll give you updates when it's warranted, which was the official quote on the Pacers website, that means they don't expect things to change anytime soon, both of those things in combination. The other, I mean, the good thing is that there's no structural damage to his knee. We know that. It's not a surgery is required thing. The flip side of that is that that's a bad thing. There's no structural damage. We don't know what it is that's causing the pain. So there's no clear path to recovery, I guess, which is why it's just a soreness thing. I mean, he went through this last year and rest for 7 games or whatever it was, healed it. So maybe he's a year older with a lot more miles on his knees, and it's just going to take, you know, 10 games this time instead of 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know, with that report, Waj came out and said he's coming back soon. So I'm not super concerned about that. I think if I were Victor Oladipo and I was like, you know, I'm coming back soon, but I'm not sure when, because I'm being cautious. My staff wants me to be cautious for super obvious reasons. This guy's not our franchise player. We have to be cautious with him.
Mm-hmm.
If he's sore, don't put him out. This guy will run through a brick wall. Slow him down. We have to do that. And I think if you're Victor Oladipo and you're being smart, you just say indefinite, right? Because every day that it's like game time decision, game time decision, game time decision, people get asked about that. It becomes a thing in the locker room that you have to deal with the media. Like, just shut it down.
I think I appreciate all your guys' comments, but I think the elephant in the room here is his album just dropped.
So you think he's out promoting his album?
I mean, that seems like the most likely
thing.
Did
we get Metal World Peace?
I dropped during the season.
I need to take some time off to work
maybe
on my album.
Maybe he learned from Metal World Peace. You know, that maybe he learned from that.
Well, he's the best example of a leader we've ever had on the Pacers team. So that's probably what he wanted.
Metal World Peace?
Yeah, Metal World Peace.
Well, Ron Artest.
Okay. Right.
Ron Artest, sure. Yeah. Which, yeah, his album, V.O., just came out on last Tuesday. R&B/soul.
Yep. Shout out.
I mean, here's the thing. At the end of the day, he said he doesn't know when he's coming back. He's taking the pressure off his players to talk to the media about it. He's told his teammates, go out and win basketball games. It doesn't matter when I come back. This is your job. I'm fine with all of it. And I'm unconcerned. Things are fine.
So on some level, this is the right month for him to miss if he does miss extended period of time here in December, because like I talked about, I think it's a winnable. I've called 11-4.
In the December to remember.
In the December to remember.
Which now has already dropped to 10-5 somehow.
Well, if he doesn't return for the month, I'll give us 10-5.
Oh, so you're a month without Victor costs us one game.
I'm teasing there. I think to get 11-4, we need a healthy Oladipo. If he doesn't come back and we're playing 500 or slightly above 500 ball, that can keep us treading water. But I really think this is an important month for us to get ahead, to get that home court advantage we need. And so I need our best player to come back soon.
I'll counter argument that, and I'll say, like, look, the East is the East and is garbage. First things first, protect your franchise player.
Sure.
Make no mistake that he's 100%.
I don't want to bring him back too early. No, I don't mean that. I'm just hoping that he gets better soon.
I agree. I would like for him to be better yesterday, but I, you know, honestly, yeah, even limiting his games during a season, like, these will pay long-term dividends for us. Victor Oladipo is never going to leave the Pacers. Like,
yeah,
this guy is going to retire in a Pacers jersey. So yeah, you have to understand that giving him 10 games off during a season, whether the knee hurts or not, probably fine. It's fine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Plus, it's more time for Aaron Holiday to shine.
Bam!
That's true. Right. And yeah, for these guys to step up, you know, it's been a, you know, we went 4-4, but we've had great performances from a lot of guys to step in. We've been sharing the ball really well.
Yeah. LeBron James has been pulling this move for years and years and years. LeBron has. And so if that's what Victor's doing, it's fine.
Yeah. Well,
smart man.
Get well soon.
I'd like that his mentors are LeBron James and Meta World Peace.
That's weird.
The mentors we just gave him. We assigned him randomly.
And it's also
one of those is true.
Goofy is also.
Goofy.
That's how I've always described Oladipo's game. I was like, just take one part Ron Artest, one part LeBron James, and one part Goofy. And
the perfect basketball player. Team.
Just, yeah, unstoppable.
I think pretty much pretty obvious to me, but gentlemen, I think it's about time. We went way long this week. There's a lot to talk about.
It's fine. We'll make Coulson cut it. It's fine.
That's right. Don't you worry about that.
If you're listening to this, congratulations. You did a great job.
You won most improved.
And maybe you turned it on, you know, an hour and a half ago, and you were just too lazy to get up and turn it off. That's fine too. Whatever it takes for us, you know. It's all about the metrics. We'd like to thank you for listening. Well, on Twitter, we are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website's TheUndebeatables.com, and there's also a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can send us an email, shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. Thanks to everyone who's done that. If you can give us a review wherever you listen, it helps new coaches, and new fans find us. We got t-shirts for sale on the website /store.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Seclinard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
I really liked that.
Because it was fast. So I've got it was over.
It was almost on key.
All of those things worked for me.
Nice. The Skype connection must be bad.
Sure. I think the Skype connection was good. I mean, maybe the problem the whole time has been the Skype connection. Maybe that's it.
Maybe. So I got two things.
Why are you talking about problem? What do you mean there's been a problem all along?
I mean, it's been excellent.
Okay, thank you.
With room for improvement.
I work hard at my craft.
So I got two things. Now, first one is, episode 351 is dropped, so I'm assuming that means that it's time for a clip show. Coulson, you're caught up, right?
No, but that you do make a good point. This will be the first episode of a clip show, so we should probably say something like, that helps me anchor that.
Yeah, this is Coulson's last show was 351? Is he bringing in props? What is going on?
Bringing in Kyle.
Oh.
And hey, Harper. Kyle.
Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
You didn't see that coming?
She's clever.
And then Harper, I looked. So breakfastwine.com, somebody owns that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing on there. So we might be able to maybe just
buy it. Yeah, we can buy it from
GoDaddy. Buy it with all that sweet podcast money we get.
Yep.
Speaking of jazzy pianists.
Well played, sir.
That's a good point.
Hoobastank.
Hoobastank.